This is Pastor Matthew Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS operates the second largest parochial school system in the United States. What can you expect from a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school? There's one race, the human race. And Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child from every land and every nation. Life begins at conception. All life is precious from womb to tomb. And every student, parent, and teacher is created in the very image of God. There's right and wrong, and we know which is which from the Ten Commandments. There are only two sexes, male and female, He created them. Marriage is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. There's such a thing as objective, absolute truth, and it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ and His Word. To find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school near you, visit lcms.org/schools.
The tide may be turning on what some simply call woke ideology. If you dig down a little bit more, what it calls itself is diversity, equity, and inclusion. They don't think of it as an ideology. They just think of it as, well, the way the world ought to be. But the tide may be turning on this destructive way of educating our children and of running our organizations. Florida has recently outlawed DEI in higher education. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology, Dr. Scott Yenner. He's professor of political science at Boise State University, senior director of state coalitions at the Claremont Institute Center for the American Way of Life, author of the book, The Recovery of Family Life, Exposing the Limits of Modern Ideologies, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, If We Want Western Civilization to Survive, DEI Cannot. Dr. Yenner, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
What is diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology?
It is the view that all disparities between groups is traceable to discrimination and that the environment within which people operate needs to be changed so as not to be discriminatory. So, for instance, if there are testing scores that are different between Latinos and whites, the assumption is that there is something white-centered about the tests that needs to be changed so that group outcomes will be more or less equal. And that ideology has come to dominate many institutions, including most prominently educational institutions, where the moral imperative is to bridge the achievement gaps or bridge the discipline gaps between various racial groups.
So what are the broader goals of DEI ideology?
Advocates for DEI sometimes frame it as just being welcoming to everyone or just trying to make equal opportunity in our institutions. But they have actually made clear, especially sometimes in their defenses of DEI, that their goal is to dismantle the institutions of our civilization and recreate new ones that will reflect their values and the values of the groups for which they advocate. So they will say that the DEI policies are designed to dismantle structures and systems that make for these disparities because these disparities are harmful to the people underneath them. They're often quite open about that, but when pressed, they kind of retreat back to more adenine formulations in order to make their policies seem more defensible and consistent with our civilization.
How did DEI take over academia?
Oh, well, that's a long story. I think that ultimately, the DEI ideology is very similar to what was in the 90s called multiculturalism, and what in the 70s was called anti-discrimination. The idea here is that, you know, the entire country, not just our educational institutions, has this imperative to be a place where all so-called discrimination is stamped out. And the place to actually accomplish this moral revolution where discrimination is thought to be the worst among all things is in education. So there was an intentional effort to promote this new ethos in education schools, in state curriculum, beginning, I would say, in the 70s. And it was called, you know, the, as I say, the multicultural revolution then. But the whole idea was that we need to adapt the environment in order to bridge the achievement gaps among groups, because those achievement gaps are themselves supposedly evidence of a discriminatory heart. So that ethos, I think, dominates the country in many ways, and it shouldn't be a surprise that it first came to the education institutions in the early 70s, late 60s.
How important is it to realize that this isn't a social philosophy or merely a worldview? This is a moral and even in many ways puritanical kind of religious revolution that's being attempted here.
Well, I think it's very crucial to recognize that this is a moral revolution, because a moral revolution can only be fought with an alternative morality. And, you know, there's a lot of talk on the right that we want to promote education, not indoctrination, or to deny that all education is in some sense political. In a civilizational sense, it's political. And what the confrontation with the diversity, equity, inclusion complex right now clarifies for us is that politics on a civilizational level is unavoidable. It is necessarily political. And, you know, the claim that our civilization causes universal harm and must be dismantled needs to be met with a claim that our civilization embodies standards of right and wrong, of good and bad, that are defensible and the basis for a good and faithful life. And that is in itself a sort of political viewpoint. So that I think the right needs to learn that education is political in the sense that it embodies standards that's going to shape the future citizens and make for a particular kind of country. The left has understood that for generations, and I think the right is coming around to that view as well.
What are DEI's ideological goals, particular goals for higher education?
It's a little bit like we were just talking about. It's to transform the institution of a university or a college so that it yields equitable results and celebrates diversity and discriminates against those elements of the university that, in its view, causes inequities and a lack of respect for diversity. So it's important to reshape all the disciplines, to reshape student life, to reshape admissions, to reshape hiring processes, to reshape administrative goals, all to achieve the anti-discrimination ethos, as it's defined by diversity, equity, and inclusion, and to eliminate threats to that new ideology. And we are in the eliminate threats to the new ideology stage of its imposition, as cancel culture and free speech regulations and such are allowed to bloom on campus. Unfortunately, all of America is becoming like campus in that respect. But, you know, I think there are green shoots of opposition coming to this.
How does DEI view freedom of speech and other freedoms?
So freedom of speech is not important to DEI advocates. Rather, it is a potential threat to a sense of belonging that people might have. So, for instance, in light of the recent Hamas attacks on Israel, the mere presence of Jews who advocate for the cause of Israel on campus and their willingness to speak out on behalf of Israel is a threat to those who advocate for the decolonization of Israel. Therefore, it justifies the shutting down of pro-Israeli rallies on campus. They become a threat. So inclusion, the idea that we need to reshape the environment of campuses so that underrepresented minorities feel like they are running the place, demands certain limits on free speech. There's another kind of level to this. Other universities will say things like, we respect free speech, but if your free speech reveals an anti-discriminatory heart, we're going to go after you for the discrimination that is manifest in your speech instead of going after free speech directly. So I think it's fair to say that free speech is under assault directly on many campuses and indirectly on other campuses.
How does DEI view traditional educational standards?
Yeah, I mean, I have a simple formulation for this. Standards are the key to civilization, but standards themselves are discriminatory. So holding people to common standards is the heart of what a discriminatory institution does. Instead, the DEI advocates would hope to build an institution that holds everyone to different standards as reflecting their own cultural dispositions and aspirations. So, you know, I think that's really the heart of the matter. Civilization requires standards, and DEI opposes standards as discriminatory.
We are talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology with Dr. Scott Yenner, professor of political science at Boise State University. We'll talk a little bit more about what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has done to roll back DEI in his state next.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by purchasing a cell phone case from Crossway, crossweh.com/LPR. You'll find cell phone cases for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and Luther's Seal with the Reformation Solas. crossweh.com/LPR. A percentage of your purchase will support Issues Etc., crossweh.com/LPR.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up James with Prayer of Faith, and then we move back to the Old Testament, to Habakkuk. Intro and prophet's complaint, God's answer, the prophet's second complaint, and the righteous live by faith. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
A number of people have asked about Ad Crusum's process to order our faux stained glass window clings. It's easy. Email us with your window's dimensions, the images you require, and the style you like, and we will quote to design, print, and ship your window clings to you. We recommend having them professionally installed. If you wish to purchase a sample, we have a gorgeous small Luther Rose cling available on the website. Pop on over to adcrusum.com. That's adcrusum.com.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology with Dr. Scott Yenner, professor of political science at Boise State University, senior director of state coalitions at the Claremont Institute Center for the American Way of Life. He's author of the book, The Recovery of Family Life, Exposing the Limits of Modern Ideologies, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, If We Want Western Civilization to Survive, DEI Cannot. You won't find DEI being taught at Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran provides a classical Lutheran education for pre-K through 12th grade. They also offer online classes with student-teacher interaction for high school students worldwide. Learn more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Dr. Yenner, what has Florida Governor Ron DeSantis done to roll back the DEI revolution?
Yeah, well, he's done things in K through 12 and things in higher ed. In K through 12, he's opened up teacher certification so that you don't have to go through schools of education in order to be certified as a teacher. There are a lot of alternative ways of becoming teachers. He's also advocated for school choice, which allows people to opt out of schools that may not suit their own values, we'll say. At the same time, he has supported civilization sustaining public education standards in English, the language arts, and civic education and other things, in order to point toward the alternative vision of what education should be. In higher education, he's done much the same thing, I think. Recently, the University of Florida abolished its diversity, equity, and inclusion offices and released several employees from their duties in that area. He's also gotten some courses out of the general ed that are from disciplines whose professional standards are infused with DEI. So he's done some dismantling of the DEI apparatus. At the same time, he's also spent time building anew centers around campus, new boards of trustees for different colleges, new presidents for different colleges, who seek to infuse those colleges with a different spirit of accomplishment and civilizational defense. So in each case, he's recognized that you can't simply destroy or dismantle the things that are involved with DEI education, but you also have to offer a positive alternative and infuse those institutions with that positive alternative.
So how can Florida serve as a model for other states that are concerned about DEI ideology, not only in higher education, but elsewhere?
Yeah, and I think its general strategy of dismantle and rebuild is one of the keys to education reform as we go forward. There's been a tendency in conservative groups to simply seek for carve-outs so that we can try to do our own thing in our little corner of education. And what we have learned in both K through 12 and in higher ed is that the left's project is imperial. That is, it is designed to decrease the amount of space in those institutions operated by other ideologies or people with other priorities. And what we can learn from Governor DeSantis is the necessity of doing both those things, of building your own, but defending it by dismantling hostile policies and environments that might limit the influence of what we're trying to build.
So go a little deeper into the alternative. What alternative is Florida offering to replace DEI?
Well, the thing that Florida has really emphasized as an alternative is classical education, which is both great books education and just an attempt to steep students in the knowledge of the principles that have made our civilization. Not just the Greeks and the Romans, but the importance of the Christian Bible in making us who we are, and of the great works of literature that have made us who we are. And trying to replace the DEI-infused general ed and common core, general ed on higher education and common core in K through 12, and then offering this alternative that is grounded in civilizational achievement so that people can understand where we come from and use our past to help guide our future. And I think that's been one of the great alternatives that has been on the governor's agenda. He's sought to build centers dedicated to classical education at the University of Florida and at New College in Sarasota. And he's definitely been very friendly to bringing in classical charter schools and establishing private schools dedicated to classical Christian education through the education savings accounts programs in his K through 12 program.
So what is the plan for those universities in Florida who are refusing to comply?
The laws that Florida has in place in higher education allow for boards of trustees to be regulated by the Board of Governors, and there might be injunctions put on practices, and there might eventually be withholding of funds. But, you know, the intelligent thing, once again, that they've done down here in Florida is that they've been strategic, and or at least more strategic, in who they put on boards of trustees, in who they hire as university presidents, so they can leverage those positions to get rid of DEI practices and to help build alternatives that are viable and healthy for the civilization.
So you had mentioned dismantle and then rebuild. Why is it necessary to dismantle that DEI apparatus first?
They have to be kind of done at the same time, I think. But if you don't dismantle the DEI apparatus, the other elements of the university that are controlled by the left will expend lots of energy to limit the influence, limit the independence, and ultimately curtail the mission of any alternative that is built on campus. We've seen this really over the last 10 years, where at several universities, big universities, academic centers have been built, and administrators have been amenable to the building of those academic centers that are dedicated to civil discourse or free speech or intellectual diversity. But without having the ability to grant degrees, without having the ability to hire and tenure faculty, those institutions end up being hampered. In order for them to thrive, I think, they need that independence. And that independence can only be built, granted, and sustained by a sympathetic university president with a board that backs him. We've learned that it's easy to capture these centers, and it's easy to undermine them without having those who are sympathetic to the alternative in charge of universities. And part of getting those who aren't sympathetic to those alternatives in charge of universities is making a point of putting opponents of DEI into those positions of authority.
Some have noted, and I noticed that in one case, in terms of Florida educational reform, the entire sociology course was dropped. It just almost considered irredeemable because it had been so infected with DEI indoctrination. Some would say, well, but the hard sciences are immune to this kind of stuff. What would you say?
The castle of science has a bigger moat than sociology, for sure. But they're nevertheless very much under threat. For instance, biology has a very strong genetic component. And biologists are finding it difficult to publish in journals about sex differences because of transgender ideologues who will complain to editorial boards and reviewers when people try to publish such things. Furthermore, the kinds of people who are entering the sciences is now changing because there is such an emphasis in bringing in underrepresented minorities into the science. So a lot more people are going into industry, higher levels of industry, who might otherwise have become academic researchers. So I think there's clear recruitment problems in the sciences, but also real substantive problems that ultimately could threaten the science. And one more thing, science itself has a method, and it is considered, by some at least, a method that is very Western-centric. The scientific method was discovered in the West, and it is perpetuated in the West. So there are a lot of alternative kinds of science, like astrophysics, that will be established because they represent different cultures' vision of how you come to apprehend the world. So I think there are significant threats to the sciences, but nothing is compared to the soft sciences, so-called, like sociology, where there is no real attempt to grasp what the real world looks like.
You have been working with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on this effort in that state. Why do you think that Donald Trump has not made a bigger issue of the crisis in education that has been brought on by DEI?
Oh, well, this, in a way, is above my pay grade. I do think that one thing about President Trump is that he's running on a broad array of issues, and crucial to him is the immigration issue, which is really a national issue. Education is more or less a state-level issue. I mean, the national government can leverage states in one direction or another, but immigration and economic security are the things that unite Republican voters in this particular environment, and they're what it appears he's going to make the centerpiece of his campaign. So it makes sense that education would be down the list for a presidential candidate, because especially K-12 education is like 90% a state function as opposed to a national function.
Dr. Scott Yenner is professor of political science at Boise State University, senior director of state coalitions at the Claremont Institute Center for the American Way of Life. He's author of the book, The Recovery of Family Life, Exposing the Limits of Modern Ideologies, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, If We Want Western Civilization to Survive, DEI Cannot. You can read this column and purchase The Recovery of Family Life at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. Yenner, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is called Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change. It's a study of the Old Testament prophet Samuel, the tumultuous changes that he endured, and how he continued to trust in the promises of God. Find out more about Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Friday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss embryo adoption with Marilyn Strage, and we'll respond to your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I'm accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
America's tradition of liberty depends on having colleges and universities that equip young people for the responsibilities of freedom. At Concordia University Chicago, freedom is a pillar of our education. We prepare our students to live as free, self-governing citizens. I'm Dr. Rachel Ferguson, director of the Free Enterprise Center at Concordia Chicago. I invite you to visit us. Discover what it means for freedom to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.